Welcome to the Derek Loudermilk Show. This is episode 407 with Heather Ivany. Heather Ivany is an Akashic Records reader and teacher, and this is such a cool episode that we did for you. It's an experiment. Neither of us have tried before, but we both went into the Akashic Records, me as a beginner and her as an expert, and did part of the episode from within the Akashic Records. Some of the things that we cover are the consciousness of business and how you could do things like marketing through the Akashic field. We talk about the personhood of all things. That is how you get into relationship with all things. We talk about magic words and a whole bunch of other stuff. So without further ado, here is Heather Ivany. Heather Ivany, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Derek. Really excited to be here. I've had this anticipatory energy with me all morning, and I know it's directly related to wherever it is we're going to go today. So my body's happy we're doing it because it's been trying to shake out the excess energy all morning. So this is exciting. Thanks for having me.
Interesting. Yeah. Thanks. Good to see you again. We chatted last week. Looking forward to it as well. And it reminds me, recently I was I'm digging into Veda Austin's water research, which she does the petri dishes where she freezes. She does a sort of like rapid freezing process, and images appear in the ice related to like either thoughts she's put into the water, or she's set the dish on a book, or she plays music to it, and it shows up these images. And the water seems to have this precognitive ability where she'll get these images in her ice, and then the image will show up hours or days later. And she'll be like, how did the ice know, you know, in advance of what was going to happen? And so as you were saying, like, your body was physically like getting ready for this call, I wonder how much sort of precognition your physicality would be experiencing, you know, before we do something like this.
Yeah, very interesting. Like, I even, to take it a little step further, I don't normally do this, but I booked out my morning before we started and had an hour just to like rattle off the things that I didn't want to be distracted by, but then just was really drawn to have like a good physical yogic practice, a genuine sit before arriving, just to really have the best capacity to just meet the moment with where we're going to go. And normally I don't allow myself that quality of time before having an interview. So it's interesting. I love the example that you just brought up. It makes me want to go and see what she's doing and learn more about it.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Taking such time. I think I heard you say in one of your other interviews that you like to use the Akashic Records to sort of connect beforehand with the person you're going to be talking to or the topics you'll be discussing. So maybe let's just dive in. How do you, is that something you do? You use the Akashic Records ahead of time for calls?
Yeah. So it's short. It's not a long time that I spend, but just before you and I come in, I allow myself to just open up the records for you and myself meeting. And then I just feel into that frequency, which again was like even more heightened than the energy that I was feeling. Like it's a very vibrant space that I was feeling. And then I just let myself kind of attune to that resonance. And then I'll just ask that more frequencies of attunement and harmony come in so that the conversation has flow, so that we can be able to have a sense of fluidity when we're engaging and talking together. And that's kind of how I like to prepare before I have sessions. Just, I love to just kind of take out the static and the noise beforehand so that we can go deeper sooner.
Amazing. And is that, I've heard of the term egregore as in like a a new consciousness that's created like between people or in groups. Is that like the egregore of the podcast, the consciousness of the podcast that you're tuning into, or how do you determine that?
Oh yeah, so there's different ways that you could play with it. So how I was playing with it was the consciousness of you and I gathering and having this particular interview together. But another way that I could have played with it ahead of time is I could have gone into the consciousness of your podcast in general and just gotten a feeling for like the personality of the podcast and then how I would want to relate to it. And then also what you and I did last week, where we went into your personal Akashic records and played with it from there. But I can't go into your records without consent. So when I'm opening up before a meeting or an event, I can only go into the actual gathering, not your personal records at that time.
So whatever you're involved with, like whatever, you can access what you have direct involvement with.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for people that are we just kind of like jumped right in, which is what I like to do,
Yeah.
but I'm curious, how did you get into working with the Akashic Records?
Yeah, that was a moment in time that I didn't see coming. So what I was personally desiring and kind of craving in my own life was just to be able to have more depth with other people with the work that I do. So prior to the Akashic Records, I'd been in the yoga ground for over 20 years and led retreats and done teacher trainings and had those pockets of depth. But I was really also just hungry to work with people that don't do asana. So having an opportunity to be able to go further and deeper with people, and that was just simply what I was playing with. And then through a series of different circumstances, COVID hit. I had an opportunity to spend more time in meditation because the studios all shut down. My husband's in aviation, so he was also shut down. So he was managing kids, and I was able to have a little bit more time doing some meditation experiences. And in that, I was drawn towards a particular woman. So I just her name came up a few times in meditation. I reached out to her. And then when I reached out to her, I just said, you know, I sense that you know where to take it from here. All I'm getting is that you and I need to connect. So I did an Akashic session. She came back and said, yes, I'm an Akashic record teacher. I knew who she was. Let me just make that. She's a woman that I knew from childhood that I hadn't talked to in quite some time, but her name just kept popping up. So I was like, hey, Kelly, what's going on? Can we connect? And so then when I met up with her, she shared that she does Akashic session readings. She also shared, she's like, this is a big way of how I actually draw people in, is just through the conscious realm. So if you want to have a session, I'm open to doing that with you. So that's where we started. And from that session, what was revealed to me was that I work with the records, which many people do, in a very subconscious way on a daily basis. So she was just inviting me into the experience of just bringing the Akashic records from the subconscious into the conscious and working with it proactively. And so I went in and did a level one training privately with her. Within a couple months, I did part two, and then I did part three. And then as soon as that was done, within a couple months, I had some colleagues that were asking me to teach them. So it was a pretty strong trajectory that I was on. And just to give some perspective, like when I work with yoga trainings, I take years in between, like a 200 hour to a 500 hour. Like I really am the type of person that normally takes a long time to absorb and assimilate and really make it into my own like quantum soup of how I want to relate to it. And then I teach it. So the speed in which I was being asked and guided to first open up to it and then to learn it and then to teach it was quite rapid for what I was used to. And then I even really struggled initially, Derek, with just the languaging of the Akashic records. I didn't think it was a field that many people were familiar with. I live in a very small town that's very physically based. Yoga is acceptable because it's been around forever, but to start offering Akashic sessions, I realized would be a pretty small area to work in such a small town. So then what I was guided to when I just sort of explored that in the records with myself of like, yes, I would love to be a catalyst for this type of work, but I don't see how it's going to play out for me. What came through was that I was meant to go more international and to focus on allowing my work to be international, not be confined by the small town that I live in. So I played with it. I wanted to call it many different names. I wanted to make it more familiar, just call it like energy healing or something more safe, I guess. But the response that I got was call it what it is. People will then that's how people will know how to find you, right? Just call it what it is. So here we are. And I still to this day, like I still have some challenges with sort of the way that it's perceived, or even just my own relationship to working with the field in this way.
Okay, interesting. Two things stuck out about what you said. One was that this woman's name kept coming up for you, and then you followed up on it, which is kind of interesting. And I want to, the other thing was that she draws people in through the Akashic field. And I think that's really interesting. Maybe we can come back to that because I think a lot of
Sure.
entrepreneurs might find that interesting. Like marketing through consciousness is something that I'm fascinated by. But is that the way that you normally go about things, where like you get repeated little nudges in your awareness to look up somebody and just ask them like, hey, are you supposed to teach me or something? How do you normally operate that?
Normally pre Akasha, it would be more spontaneous. So I'd have the sort of the radar out, the feelers out, and if I noticed those quote unquote coincidences coming in, I would respond to them and get excited about them. But I really felt like I didn't really have a way to play with it. It was just if it spontaneously came in, great, follow the nudges, follow the breadcrumbs, and roll with it. But what the Akashic Records has shown me is that you can also actively participate with it so that you can be in more of a communication with the with those messages coming in. So for example, I'll go into it right away with the way that she relates to being able to call in her clients through the Akashic field. And I find, I don't know if it's just women, so maybe not, but, or maybe it's people that work energetically. There seems to be a very strong resistance to the traditional marketing approaches to building a business. Whenever I've tried to play with it or dabble with it, it's hard for me to get on board with it. It feels outside of my nature. And I don't end up actually having the results that I get promised before investing. So I've created a whole program called Sovereign Leadership, which is based on using your energetic mastery to grow and expand your business. And so a lot of what I'll do is I'll open up the business of my, or sort of the records of my business, because it has its own consciousness. And even though my business is created by me, it's almost like a personality that's moving through me. And so just a little bit further back with that, how I like to look at it is the creation of a business is the answer to other people's prayers. So, and if prayers is a triggering word, then just petition, put another word in there. But there's a frequency that's being created by a bunch of individuals that are hungry for something that they can't find. And so this starts to build and grow and create more of a thickness in the field. And then this is how I like to look at it, is that the energy is then trying to find a way to ground down. It's trying to find the best resource to be able to anchor and ground down. So it locates me, for example, and I get the idea to create a business that looks like ABC. And so part of it, yes, is my own personality, because there's a way that I will deliver that's different from the person next to me. And this is the method that the people that are petitioning for are hungry for. So my business has its own consciousness that's separate from my personality, because it's not built simply by me. It's built by the field and the other people that are adding to the field. So when I open up the consciousness of my business, there's a resonance there that feels familiar. It feels like me, but then there's also another component that's not like me. And that's the part that I'm tending to when I'm making business decisions. The Heather in me might want my business to go super fast, super hard, really intense. And when I open up the records, my business has more of a personality that's slow and steady, and it wants to build gradually over time. And so then I'm finding the misalignments between myself and my business. I'm seeing if there's certain things that we can dissolve and problem solve together, so that there's more of an attunement and a harmony between me and my business, and we're working together rather than kind of having kind of that push, that stop start kind of feeling that you can get sometimes with your business.
That's amazing. It reminds me of like when things are invented by multiple people at the same time in different parts of the world. It's like the timing is ripe, and it sounds like what you're saying is that the desire is like this free-floating preference of people, and then it kind of like comes through in whatever human vessel can facilitate that.
Absolutely, yeah. And what a brilliant short way of bringing that all together there. Thank you. And then if you want to take it a little bit further, then what I can do, just to get back to like how she's like, yeah, this is how I call people in. So the marketing that I love to do is I have a particular sort of avatar of individual that I like to work with. This is general marketing information that a lot of people work with, but I get more personally, just because of the way that I like to run my business, I like a lot of depth. So I'm not looking at like, okay, I'm looking for a 35-year-old male that works as a accountant and lives in this certain location. Like that's totally irrelevant to me. But I might put the petition out there. Okay, I'm ready for. I want to be working with the individual that's ready to put in the time, that doesn't have the excuses, and is actually ready to grow and expand in this way. I want to work with the person that has already done a lot of their own unfolding energy. So a lot of people call this work. I don't like to call it work, but that's usually how we relate to it, is they've done their own personal work, and now they're wanting to play with the light energy more. So there's certain particular avatars that I like to release out into the field and be like, this is the type of individual that I'm longing to work for. And then I just ask that my particular, I'll call them guides or teachers, frequencies is more how I like to relate to it. Can my frequencies just go out and find the other frequencies that match and bring them into my field? And how I know it's working is 90% of the time, by the time someone is coming into my residence by like purchasing a session or coming into a training, we're already at the place where we're ready and willing to work together, and we're just working on the tiny details to make it happen. And then the odd time that I get someone coming in that isn't a good fit, I'll have that conversation with the field. What was that? How, where
Oh
did that
yeah.
come from? Yeah, what did I like not speak clearly when I was talking to you? Should we like tease some things out here? Because that is definitely not what I was looking for. And I like to keep it light and humorous and have some fun with it, because it should be playful at the end of the day.
And do you ever get anything back? They're like, we were just seeing how you would react to this random person.
Interesting. It kind of goes the opposite way. Get more clear, more specific with where you want to go. Right? Yeah.
Interesting.
And what I love, like when we're talking about the energy being malleable, is that this avatar hasn't stayed constant in the last 3 to 5 years that I've been playing with this. So it's as I continue to unfold into the next layer of my own becoming, there's a different caliber of individual that is coming into my field that I'm ready to work with, that I wasn't ready to work with a year ago.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What is the thing with the word work? You said you don't like it, but you're using it.
For me, work is arduous. It's like when people are like doing the work, it feels like something that we're trying to do to end the day, to end the work day. So we're trying to do this thing so that we can be done doing this thing. And I for me, it's I and it feels very masculine, it feels very hard. It feels very like there's not a lot of room for play. So when I use languaging like where am I unfolding next? What part of me wants to grow and expand? What's my next becoming? When I use languaging like that, then I'm more interested in letting it be a forever process. In like, this is the next part of me that wants to grow and expand, and these are the things that I'm being guided to look at or play with in order for that to happen. And even like my actual work, I don't even like calling it work. I like calling it a vocation. Something that I might potentially do beyond the age of when most people retire, just because there's a part of me that just absolutely loves being in conversation like this.
So funny, you're reminding me of something we used to say. So I was on the cross country team in college, and one thing about us was that we would always take our shirts off. And we had this expression, which is shirts are for work and work is for jerks. When we
I love it.
take
Yeah,
our
that's
shirts
great. I love it.
off.
Yeah. And so then it makes it playful. And then whenever you're having like a really hard day, it also reminds you that you have choice. Oftentimes, work feels choiceless to us. We have to work in order to earn money and all the things that we associate with work being this like have to thing. And what you just described is like when you're out there with the boys, at the end of the day, you don't have to be there.
That's true. And people would show up for that more than they would show up for work.
Exactly.
Another thing that you're talking about, the business having its own consciousness, it's so interesting because I'm digging into law right now and money, and a business is often called a person in the law, because there's all different things that can be called a person, a trust, a corporation. All these different entities have personhood under the law, and it's so interesting that we give all these legal things, these fictionalized things, personhood. That implies that they have their own consciousness, but we don't give personhood to rivers and rocks and trees and things like that. Although I think in New Zealand, they started giving personhood to rivers recently based on the Maori demanding it, essentially.
Sorry, it's reminding me of like I'm going to derail here a bit, but like the super long Kiwi names, the Maori names for like the towns and the rivers. I river guided in New Zealand for a summer, and I could th these name the Whanganui River is one that I remember so long ago, but some of them are so long, these names, and it would just be such a game trying to decipher what they are and be able to say them, like you're asking for someone to pass the salt. It was super funny, but I agree with you. And what's pinging when you're sharing that is how a lot of us that are in the realm of consciousness are playing with ways to make it more relatable to people that are in industries such as law. And I love how you've just actually entirely flipped it with what you just shared, is that law is actually working from the space of consciousness. In a way that we don't give them credit for. And they might not even be aware of it when they're like doing their law jargon and all the things. But what a great baseline if you want to have a conversation with a lawyer about consciousness who's skeptical, you can just actually like lay that out for them. You actually language this legally, and we're just taking it and moving it to another way to play with it. I love it. That's such a cool insight. Thanks for sharing that.
I had got into this originally by trying to understand magic words, and I was coming at it from a physics perspective, like, okay, words have a vibration, and when you speak them, they go from not existing to existing. So you're like instantly creating something that never existed. And there's certain power in words. And then I discovered the whole legal system is based on magic words, and that you have to really understand the definitions and all these, because words can trap you, they can enslave you, they can trick you when used as a weapon. So yeah, it's been a really interesting journey over the last couple of years, just like understanding words in the legal system from that perspective.
Well, and to put the to go into like the another layer of what we're talking about, like the putting the personhood into anything invites us into having a relationship with it. So the moment I start to see my business as a personhood, now there's conversation I can have there with it. Now there's opportunity to play with the nuances of it and get to know it in a way that I hadn't gotten to know it before. The same way that, like, you know, if someone's diagnosed with lung cancer or some sort of a disease in the body, then we have this invitation to go into the personality of the lungs, even though it's like a person within the person, if you want to layer it that way. But like, what is it that the lungs want to be saying to me that I haven't been listening to in all these years? And you start to create a relationship with the consciousness of your lungs that's different than the consciousness of your right-hand thumb. And so there's these personalities even within our personhood. And yes, it's fun to delineate it and so that we can get to know ourselves in a different way. But then the rebound is we also have to remember to bring it back into wholeness and remember that it's part of a bigger system and a field of the bigger matrix, right?
Yeah. The book Braiding Sweetgrass I read a couple years ago, and that's where she introduces that term, shares that a lot of First Nations Native peoples' languages are, you know, they have personhood, the words for like Mr. Tree and Mr. Rock and things like that. And so if you don't have that in your vocabulary, then you wouldn't think of that. And it's almost just the first step is expanding the total vocabulary that you can use to do that. And then I had this thought that, you know, because like what you said, you have to be in relationship with the thing you're trying to work with. So like, if you want to save the planet or help the environment, but you're trying to just come in and like do an objective, an environmental agenda without having a personal relationship with the environment you're working on, then you're doing the same thing that the people that start NGOs in Africa. I've heard stories like people will start an NGO. They're like, I'm going to go help in Africa. And they go, and then like all the Africans try for years to prevent them from actually doing anything because it takes them a few years to really understand what people need and the culture and stuff. So they're like the local people, wherever an NGO goes, have this method of like skirting any engagement with a person until they're, into the culture long enough to actually know what's up. But I got the same thing about environmentalists. Like we would be ineffective until we actually had a working relationship with the environment we're working with.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And it's neat to have that languaging. Like even when I'm working in the Akashic training, when I talk about like part one, two, and three, it's not like they're advancing more in the agency of the Akasha. It's just different places that we play from. So part one is learning how to read your own Akashic records. Part two is learning how to read other people's Akashic records. And then part three, we just expand and zoom right out and we go into the Akasha of anything. So that's where it gets fun. It becomes a playground. So it's like, do you want to go into the Akashic records of a star planet? Do you want to go into a plant? Do you want to go into an animal? Do you want to go into your business? All the different opportunities. And when I'm working with someone, it's just so interesting that you brought in Braiding Sweetgrass, because the last training that I just finished, I brought in like a reading from that book before we started part three, where the author was sharing, you know, how the oak trees, they whisper to each other to know if this is the season that they're going to produce the nuts for the squirrels. And the reason why I share this story is just to really land on just this deep interconnectedness that if we have too many acorns, or I think it was pecans, I can't remember what it was. I think maybe it was a pecan trees, but if there's too many pecans that are being produced, then we have an overpopulation of the squirrels. We have an overpopulation of whatever eats it, and it goes on and on and on. So that the trees are always languaging. Is this the summer that we have a strong harvest? Or a soft harvest? And they're doing so because they're supporting the balance of nature. And it's just such a beautiful way that book is written to just really bring us into communion with the fact that you can get so quiet that you can listen to the whispers of a hawk. or how the nature underneath the tree wants to speak to you. So one of the practices that I've done in the past is I've taken cedarwood oil, so the essential oil, cedarwood oil, and then gone and sat under a cedarwood tree, opened up the Akashic records for the cedarwood tree alongside the oil, and just allowed the tree to share its experience with me. And what's interesting is there's like two ways that it was languaging from. One was languaging from sort of the history of the tree itself, of the species of the cedarwood tree, and just sharing information in that capacity. But then also what the tree has seen in its like 150 to 200 year existence of just staying in that one spot and just sharing stories. And it was just like a really fascinating, magical experience that was unexpected, because I was just kind of walking in going like, I don't know, I got some time to play. Let's see what happens if we do this. And then it just opens up the whole wonderment, curiosity, field for people.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. What is the Akashic Records?
So the Akashic records specifically, that so there's two. Akasha is space. It's a Sanskrit word that directly interprets to mean space or spirit. And I love that it's both. It's space or spirit. So the definition of space brings in those that are more science-based and want to angle it from the quantum field. So correct me if I'm wrong, but quantum physics is the study of everything. And so if you're studying everything, it's space. And so the Akasha is the totality of the quantum field. And then if you're more spiritual by nature, and we call it spirit, spirit is also everywhere, right? Spirit and space are kind of the same word in two different arenas, if you will. So the Akasha is just the bigger umbrella of everything. But then specifically, an Akashic record is the consciousness of the timeline of that particular person, thing, object, even you can go into. So your Akashic records is the timeline of your soul. And so when I open up your Akashic records, it's like I'm dialing a radio frequency, the old school radio frequency. I'm dialing into the specific frequency of your records or GPS location, if that makes more sense to your listeners. And then I tap into your specific frequency and it opens up from there. And then what's important for people to understand, because I think that this is where I kind of get like uncomfortable with the conversation of like being an Akashic record guide. It gives access to the field of the all-knowing, but I personally am not all-knowing. And this is where, when I listen to different interviews with people that work with the records, I think that this gets really misinterpreted. I don't have access to everything in existence. I only get access to what wants to be filtered in that moment and shared with the individual through me. So if, for example, your Akashic records, if we're looking at the timeline of your soul, and you would be able to probably explain this better, but like how your soul contains energy from this particular lifetime, but then parallel universes, other dimensions, and then other lifetimes that you've had. And then inside of that is the vibrational frequency of your thoughts, your behaviors, your actions. Like that's an incredibly thick book, if you want to use like that visual of your book. So if I open that up and that's just all there, and I'm having to pick, you can't do it. It's just total chaos. So when I open up your records, how I understand it is that there's frequencies there that filter the information. I work with the Akashic records in the now. That's just how I relate to it. So I'm always working with present moment. And so when I'm opening up someone's records, it's filtered so that the information that comes through is relative to the individual in the present moment. And then the other part, are you still with me? Am I speaking? Okay. Then the other part to just add to this is that it comes through my point of reference. So if, for example, Okay, my husband's a mechanic, right? He works with helicopters. He's an aviation mechanic. If I open up the records of a Bell 212, I know nothing about the Bell 212. So the information that I get when I open up the records of a Bell 212 is going to be really limited, or it's going to be not direct. Whereas if my husband worked with the Akashic Records and he opens up the records of a Bell 212, I mean, he can go into the intricacies of the details of the instruments and the electrical harnesses and all the different things, and then like probably would have, all the different things that he could talk about. Whereas if I go into the Bell 212, because I know nothing about that, I might be reading the records of a Bell 212 experience. And be describing like the life, like an experience that the Bell 212 has had in its flight patterns. But I wouldn't be talking about the like electrical or engineering process of the Bell 212 because I have no point of reference to relate to it from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when clients ask you very specific questions relating to their area of expertise, you sounds like you can only deliver like to the limits of your filter, your way of speaking about that. But yeah, so I'm guessing there's like some sort of like translation that needs to happen between you and if you're reading someone else's records, because it is filtering through your perspective.
Yes and no. So it's coming through my point of reference, but I'm in your records. So for example, if I'm in someone's records that's a very like they have a very fast moving nervous system, I might open up someone's records and I'm talking a mile a minute. I'm almost like gasping for air because
Ah.
I'm in their records. I'm in their frequency, right? And so the Heather in me is kind of like trying to keep up because that's not my calibration. But because I'm in the records, I'm talking really fast. Or if I'm in someone's records, and let's say you're clairvoyant, you're predominantly clairvoyant. Now, clairvoyant isn't one of my strongest ways to be able to read the field. But I might get super sharp in my clairvoyant and do the entire reading from a clairvoyant because I'm in that person's records.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's still something that I'm still trying to like figure out. Like I'm still humbled by the whole thing. Like there's a little bit of like, I don't quite know exactly what's happening, but the point that I just want to make very clear is like, number one, you have to have consent to go into someone's records. So I can't just go into like, whatever, some sort of famous person and go into their I can't go into Joe Dispenza's records and see what's going on. I have to have his consent. And then number two is it's filtered. So I'm not seeing every single thing in that person's timeline. I'm just seeing the information that wants to come through in the now. And I'm also in their field. I'm in their frequency. So I oftentimes will even say things that the Heather in me, like I've been in people's records where I'm F-bombing every 2 minutes. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm talking in this way. And they're like, no, it's totally fine. This is how I talk. And I'm like, oh, okay. Or I'll be like really direct and harsh, but I check in. I'm like, is this how it's supposed to be said? And they're like, absolutely. And so I deliver it very directly, like no nonsense. And the person's like, okay, I get it. And I'm like, huh. Like I would have been like offended by that, but okay. And so I really have to trust that, like, I can check the accuracy. I can check in to make sure, like, is this how I'm supposed to deliver it? Yes or no? Okay, I'll do it that way. But I'm in their field. And that's the thing that I love the most is it's such an honor to be in someone's company in such an intimate way. And oftentimes it's like with a complete stranger. It's such a blessing that I get in this lifetime.
Yeah, and everyone's trying to get past the small talk, and then you have this sort of direct opportunity to get to know someone's frequency. What is the difference in your sense of it between like a medium, psychic medium, and someone who reads the records?
Great question. Again, another one that I'm still playing with. So Akashic reading is not psychic mediumship. That's like clearly defined. And When, okay, so if I go into, if someone's asking a future question, I remind them before the answers come through that how I work with future questions is its probability. So if there's a probability that's so strong, and it's almost like it's already in the 3D form and it's currently like solidifying, then I might only get one direct answer to their futuristic question. But if it's totally just starting to play in like the thought imagination space, then there might be multiple potentials that I share with them. I might share you know, three or four. And then I'm just reminding them because the how I work with the future is it's potential energy. It's not predestined. And then psychic mediumship, I mean, this is where I should be doing a little bit more of my research, but it works in a different way. So I do let people know, like sometimes people have to give me a little bit of breadcrumb so that I can come in a little bit more fully with what it is that they're asking. Because I don't open up your records and know instantly what your profession is, how many children you have, who you're married to. I don't have all that. It has to be detailed out through the questions.
Okay.
So I'm
Yeah.
sorry I can't really answer that because
No,
I
that's
don't
okay.
fully understand psych. Do you understand psychic mediumship and how it works?
Not completely either. The way that I think about it is like you're placing your perspective from different points. Like you're moving up or down the levels of consciousness so that, like, let's say you wanted to, well, let's say you wanted to know about your own other lifetimes, for example, then you'd move your perspective up to your higher self and then back down to that other lifetime and create a bridge. But if you're let's say you're remote viewing and you just want to look what's inside of a vault somewhere, then you're just tapping into the information field, which I guess we could call the Akashic field as well, or the quantum field. And using your sensory capabilities, your sight, your feeling and things like that. So I don't know.
Let me can I jump in here for a moment
Yeah.
just before you go where you're going to go. Let me share an experience that feels like what you're talking about, and possibly, I don't know, but possibly the line between psychic and Akasha could be a little bit blurred. I've had an experience where someone had a loved one that was missing. And they were trying to locate them. And just because I knew the individual, I had, now this is when I just started out reading the Akashic records. So now how did I work this to start? So I asked if I had access to his records, and I got a yes. And then my immediate next question was, then is he no longer in physical form? And I got a yes. So we can access people's records when they're in not in physical form because we connect, we can just ask them energetically if we can go into their records. And then I asked, so I was asking information on the location of where he was. Now he had taken his own life. He jumped off a bridge. So what I got was that he was near water, but not in the water. And I said, do I need to share this with his family? And I got a no, because it'll create too many questions and they're going to find him in the next day or so. And sure enough, he had jumped off a bridge but didn't hit the water. He hit the land beside, and so he was just hidden in the bushes by the riverbank. Now, that experience feels like a psychic experience, but I've just never called it that before until you just shared your understanding of what psychic mediumship would be.
Yeah, wow. And that's crazy because someone told me that exact same story earlier this year. Like they viewed someone who had jumped off of a bridge also and was lost. That's so wild.
Wow, yeah.
And they also didn't share because they it's kind of intimidating to actually like bring that up with the
Totally. And
family.
I knew the family a little bit, and I know that they're totally like atheist and not like interested in anything outside of what they can see and feel. So I just knew that it would be a tricky conversation to bring up. I mean, if since we're here and we're on this, let me just like go like a little step further, which totally revolutionized my relationship to suicide. Which was from there what I got what so I just kept going with this individual because now I'm working soul to soul. I don't have to have the permission of the parents here. And so because he had given me permission, I was working with him soul to soul. So then my next question was, are you okay now? Like, are you where you want to be? And I got a very strong no. And what I got was that his soul was compromised. And just know like where I'm about to go, like this is even like it's a stretch for me too. So it's not, this isn't where I normally hang out in my everyday life. But he was like, no, my soul's compromised. And what I got was like this really beautiful light that was just encased in like a very hard, thick crust. And so I was just guided to do some banishment mantras from the outside, trying to fissure and just like crack the crust. And I could feel his energy really, really working from the inside. And we played with this for about 10 minutes until eventually I could feel whatever was encasing just fissure and dissipate. And I can't, like, I still get emotional to this day when the essence of the soul was freed and the feeling that washed over my body and just how much gratitude was being expressed from that soul to finally be free, and no regrets in taking life because he was so longing to be free from this compromising thing that he's been feeling his entire life. And so the action of death for him was incredibly freeing for his soul. Now, I'm not advocating suicide, but what changed in my relationship to it was I no longer see this as a narcissistic action in any way, shape, or form. I see it as a tremendous action of self-love, of someone just wanting the best for themselves and not being able to have it in the form that they're in. And so they're doing the best they can to find a form where they can be free.
Wow. Was the encasement tied to him being in a physical form?
Yeah. So it was the, and so then I had all of this information, and all I did was say to the family, I said, look, this might sound like I'm coming out of left field. I have some information on your son. If you're open to it, we can meet and I'll share with you what I know. And so, and that was like I was, yeah. Anyway, so they agreed. And when we met, I just shared that experience of what I was doing and what he was doing. And the father at the end was very emotional. And he said, I have felt that his whole life, and I did not know how to help.
Oh, wow.
And it was just such a gift for the father to know that he was finally at the space that the two of them have been trying to get to for so long. But
Wow.
he's like, I've felt that his whole life, that there's just something that he's battling with, trying to overcome. Like it's just in, and we just can't figure out how to do it. And so we chalk this up so much to like mental health, and we treat it from our psychological tools, but there's a whole energetic component that can be of support when someone's struggling in this way that we just don't acknowledge, I don't think, enough without it sounding offbeat.
Yeah, wow. That's very validating, I can imagine, for the father to get that confirmation. Like, yeah, you were right the whole time, and you were on, you understood your son in a deeper way. What would cause an encasement like that?
So there's only a few times where the records themselves are very protected. Like it's if someone is compromised in some way, I don't have access to their records. And that's only happened once or twice. Well, maybe like half a dozen times that I've done sessions. I go to open someone's records, doesn't work. I try a second time, try a third time, still not working. So then I just ask, are they compromised in some way? Yes. Is it something that I can work with? Yes. And then I just, and if it's a no, then I'm like, okay, I've never had a no. Let me just, I'm not saying it's not possible, but I haven't had an experience where it's been a no. And I think that's also partially because if we go back to how I generate my business from the field, is I have a very strong agreement that by the time someone gets to the point where they're booking and paying and they're in front of me, all of my energies that work with me are guaranteeing me that I will be able to work with them. So, and there's a certain type of person that doesn't come into my field, and it's probably because I can't work with them. So there's that part. So that might be why if I'm asking if they're compromised, yes, and if I get, can I work with them? Yes, it's because I've done the back end work of making sure that we're not just setting ourselves up for disappointment, right? Then, so what causes your question? What causes someone to be compromised? Couple of things. It can be that they did not have the resources in a particular lifetime to be able to protect themselves, so they've just set up like a whole like armor around them just to preserve themselves. That it can be actually self-preservation can be why they're compromised. They can also be compromised by, like, if you're open to it, hexes and curses. It can be put on by another individual, and it can also be just put on, like, I only work with the light energy, but I'm fully aware of how much energy in the Akasha in the quantum field is dark by nature. So it's entities, energies, that are encasing the soul.
Yeah, interesting. The big juju, bad juju.
Yeah, but I don't spend a lot of my real estate trying to figure any of that out. I just go do what I like. Can I work with it? Yes. So then I banish. I'm pulling in as much light energy as I can. Like it feels almost like a Star Wars scene kind of thing that's going on. And we just work it in that way. But I don't, just my personality really isn't interested. Okay, now tell me the story of like the whole thing that created that situation in the first place. I just get on with it with the client that I'm working with and see what they really came for.
Yep, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't have a lot of like detail to go in there with, but yeah, I don't pretend that there's not dark forces. Yeah. What do you think on that? Where does your head go?
Yeah, well, when we had our session, you opened it. One of the things you did to open was banishment. And you said something like, it is done, or now upon my command, like, so you have a certain amount of power and authority that you can exert, but what's to say that you have enough to banish another entity or something, or a curse or a hex? Yeah, could you talk about, have you ever experienced something where you're like, I banish you, and they're like, nope,
I've had to work it several times, but I don't ever think it's me doing it. So I'm not, if I'm at a point where someone's like, if I ask the question, are they compromised? Yes. And it's like, can I work on it? Yes. Then I'm like anchoring into the earth, like muscling up my energy and like trying to pull in as much support as I can. I'm not working it at all from Heather.
Yeah, that makes sense. Call in
Okay, so that's number one.
the
Yeah, like
forces.
calling it in. And like I guess the way that I relate to it is I mean, our own individualized personalities, we have the choice every moment of every day. Do we want to be making a choice that's going to lead us more into the frequency of love, or do we want to be making a choice that's leading us more into a frequency of hatred? So these like battles of, if you want to call it good and evil, just for simplicity, it's within us all the time, and we have the potential at any time to go one way versus the other. So we're just the microcosm of the macrocosm. So the same thing is existing in the bigger field as well. But I do have like an underlying faith that anything that is out of love is desiring to be in love. And so how can I bring more love into the situation? So if I am banishing and something is still sitting and hanging around, what I will say is you can go and hang out in the light energy if you want to. It's available. You don't have to, but just know you are not welcome in this space and you have to leave. So I'm not trying to isolate it and make it like not feel worthy. I'm just letting it know that the way that it's showing up, it's not allowed in this space, the same way that we have boundaries with people in our lives. Happy to have a conversation with you. But if you're going to show up in this way, I'm not meeting you there. So it's the same type of relationship. And here's a resource that you can access if you want to be feeling more in the frequency of love. I'm not just going to send you to go hang out in the dark, empty space by yourself. If you want to go hang out there, go. But it's not me on my own doing it.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your approach to that. That's it's very nice. It's a very nice approach. Like you're yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, yeah, this is, last few minutes pretty pretty emotional, and appreciate that we went there. Where I'd like to go next is a little playful experiment, where we could move the interview into like both of us go into the records and then I conduct the interview from there. I have no idea how that would actually sound, but I kind of want to try it.
Sure. So let's do this. Like if we're going to do a reset, let me just do the banishment. Let me just do it like we're doing it. Like let's say like we haven't had this hour conversation and let's just say we're opening up a session. So let me do the banishment out loud. That'll just kind of be like the ginger after the wasabi, just kind of clear the palate. And then I'll open up the records for the podcast interview. And then we'll go from there. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to open up the records for something specific and go into that together?
Okay, we have to open it for something
Specific.
specific. We can't just like go to the records and then like walk around in the records,
We
like go into
can.
different shelves when we need when we want.
So we would be opening up the records for the Akasha. Is that what you're referring to? So then we're just going into the big, wide, infinite.
Yeah, and then the way I was thinking about it is I would like just pull topics that are seem relevant while we're in there.
Yeah, I'm totally game for playing with whatever. Haven't done it before, but let's see what happens.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
And for the listener, I'm gonna preface, Heather is an expert. After we had a session a week ago, and then I tried it out for myself. I was like, oh, let me try, and I got a couple things. I got like two useful insights when I went into my own records. So I'm a beginner, basically. That's my level of experience here.
Right. And Derek's a beginner with possibly reading the Akashic records, but you're not a beginner in the field of consciousness. So it's literally like you're just downloading another app into your phone.
Sure. Fair
Okay.
enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I hereby evict, revoke access, rescind approval to all souls or beings that have access to our being and are not serving our highest and greatest good. in all timelines, dimensions, and realities. All souls are beings that have access to Derek or myself who are not serving our highest and greatest good. Get out now. All souls or beings that we've given approval to, consciously or unconsciously, that are not serving our highest good are hereby banned from our presence and our being in all timelines, dimensions, and realities. By my will, so it is. Deep breath in and out. And then Derek, just internally repeat after me. Keepers of the Akashic Records, please open the records for the Akasha and all names used in this lifetime. Create a safe and sacred space for our highest good and healing. The records are now open. The records are now open. The records are now open. And then I just take a moment to calibrate. And Derek, you're going to just verbally out loud let me know if you sensed, felt, saw anything when you did the opening mantra. And if not, we'll repeat.
I remember from our other session that I'm placing my awareness like kind of where, like, I guess the eighth chakra would be, like a foot above the head, like higher. And so that's kind of what I was tuning into.
Okay. And then when you opened, sense, feel, or notice anything when you did that? Tingling, a knowing, like just a knowing, or any visuals? Okay, so pay attention to that, and I'll repeat the opening mantra one more time, okay?
Okay.
Keepers of the Akashic Records, please open the records for the field of the Akasha and all names used in this lifetime. Create a safe and sacred space for our highest good and healing. The records are now open, the records are now open, the records are now open. Let yourself relax. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I just perceive like a warmth, like if you're getting into sort of a warm bath type of feeling.
Perfect, perfect. And so for me, it was like almost like a horizontal expansion that went from crown of the head outwards. So that was how it opened up for me. And almost like a rise in... like if I didn't know better, I'd think it's almost like anxiety, but it's just like a surge of like adrenaline in a sense. Okay, so now we're in, we're hanging out here. Feel free to keep your eyes closed if that keeps you more in the zone. And then, so how I usually go is I'll just start to like kind of massage the space a little bit. So keepers of the records, any information that wants to come through at this time in relationship to the field of the Akasha? So what I'm getting is almost like a slow motion breath, like there's a pulse that I'm experiencing. So almost like it wants to be viewed as like a living, breathing organism and not just like a static space. So there's almost like a little expansion that I'm feeling, like a wave cresting. And then it slowly recedes and comes back down. And it's just like this very gentle pulse. And then there's almost like just like the colors are more pastel rather than like sharp. So like pastel yellows and pinks and blues are also just coming in. So that's just giving me like an opportunity to settle, to feel more calm. And to just also allow, I'm also experiencing that we're being invited to be in it rather than observing it from the outside. So if you feel like you're more on the outside looking in, Derek, if you want to see if you can kind of place yourself inside of the experience rather than observing it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My podcast producer hat is like,
okay. Meaning what? What does that mean?
Like, some part of me is like, oh, you still need to manage the production here.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so then let's work with that. So then, okay, keepers of the records, information on how Derek can manage both simultaneously. How he can manage the podcast, and then also how he can manage the Akashic session simultaneously. Okay, any questions that you're wondering or way that you're trying to keep like a focused direction? Just seeing if you can pitch the questions to the Akasha so that you're actually just including yourself more in a participatory way. And then see if you can loosen the reins a bit and just let like the field of the Akasha kind of lead. So we're like the cart behind the horse a little bit here.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, go for
So in that case, so I'm pitching these questions instead of like interviewing you, I'm pitching them to the records. And where I'm coming from is every year I do this sort of survey of predictions for the year, like people that go on YouTube and make astrological and psychic predictions. And I think it's really interesting. We're still in January as we record this. So I have the feeling that this is a pivotal year for humanity, for the earth, for all these things. And I would love to just get some insight into like behavioral recommendations for navigating this year. So that's the question is like, what do we need to know about how to conduct ourselves this year?
Okay, so I'm just going to ping back to you. There's kind of two questions there. Are you asking if there's information that we need to know for 2024? And then the second question is, and is there behaviors that we as people can do? Or do you just want to jump to question two and just ask more behavior based?
Let's start with question two and then go back to the specifics. Question one.
Okay, so then I'm going to just frame the question pretty much using mostly your languaging. And as I'm responding, feel into. So, do you remember from your session what you're claircognizant, right? And clairsentient? Are those the strong ones for you? Did we
I
talk
think I
about your
have.
clairs a bit?
Yeah, we did. I think you said clairvoyant, claircognizant, and clairsentient.
Okay, so those three are going to just sort of be on like a high radar. Like those are the ones that you're tuning into to get your answers as and I'll just answer what comes through for me first, and that gives you time to kind of see what's filtering in for you. Okay. All right. So keepers of the records. So what are some behavior patterns that we as people can adopt to support us in 2024? Does that sound accurate, Derek?
Yeah, great.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm getting stay in your lane. And then is there more? Yeah. So those that are that have a refined skill set to so it said stay in your lane, but another way that you can frame that is to come back to your center. Because the energy is going to be very pulling to the periphery. It's going to pull to the periphery, and it's easy to get swallowed up by it. So, knowing what your lane is, knowing how you work with people or how you serve, and really like anchoring in and being committed to the lane that you're in. Number one. Okay. Okay, and then it wants to ping to, okay, those people that are finding their lane, that are looking for their lane, right? Okay, really getting honest with the desire to have a lane. Like the, like there's the yes, I want it, and there's the now what am I going to do about it? And so the first part is really getting clear as to like, is this the time that you actually really want to be getting in your lane? Yes or no? And just be honest. The no is fine. It's totally valid. You're not playing small. It's just the choice that is coming through at this time. Some of us are going to be in a protective energy this year, and that's totally fine. Those of us that are really authentically like, yes, I do want to be in my lane. I do want to be finding my lane. Then, okay, what's the points that are coming through to support that? Okay. Working with calibrating your nervous system to hold the power of what your lane has. So, if you know that you want to say yes to you, but you have a fear about the responsibility that comes with that, or the power of like influencing or being seen, all those things that are required in order to be in your lane, working with small micro doses of just calibrating your nervous system to be in the pocket of the bigger version of you. So that can be through if you have a bit of a meditation practice, asking that you be held in your I am presence for 2 to 3 minutes at a time. Other ways, if you don't have a meditation practice, this is super fun. Just giving yourself opportunity to cheerlead yourself 2 to 3 minutes every day. And if you can't do it for yourself, ask someone you love to do it for you. You're killing it. You're friggin' awesome. Look at you getting up each day and going to work. Oh my God, did you make that lunch for that kid today? God, they're gonna love that. Did you just shut the front door so that we can turn off the lights and save some electricity? Like all the little micro wins, you're just celebrating that. So if you don't have a meditation practice, you're working on bringing yourself into the caliber of being able to be in your own lane. Okay, so that just went pause, quiet, which just that's my signal then to hand it over to you, Derek, and share what you're receiving.
Yeah, so I got this imagery of like when a teacher goes to kneel down in front of a single student and they are engaging them, like they bring themselves to that level and they're being really present with that individual. And so my understanding of this is and they're like putting aside all their other, crazy students and like whatever concerns, and they're just like really being present with this one person in front of them, and so that it's like, yes, being present, and also you can ignore a lot of the noise when you're being present, and like each thing will have its turn, but and that's just gonna like whatever you're working with, it's gonna, because that kid can sense when you are giving it undivided attention. So whatever you're giving, give it undivided attention. That's kind of the feeling. And there's also something about the fact that you're kneeling down to the level of the thing you're engaging with. You could also think of like if you're going to connect with an ant, like lie on the ground on the grass and just like, get as close to the ant as you can. I'm not sure why it's giving me smaller things, but yeah, so I guess so we were asking how can we show up this year? So it's like being present and in relationship and then sort of like blocking other things out so you can focus on what's directly in front of you.
Perfect. And then what like just to zoom out a little bit, what's happening there is that we're both responding to the same topic from just a slightly different lens. But what you shared and what I shared, they tie together. They're not competing with each other. Make sense?
Yeah, really cool.
Okay. Anything else that wants to come through in relationship to behavior patterns? Okay. just like a beyond what you think is possible capacity for actually compassion towards yourself. So be prepared. The energies are quite big, and even when we have our best intentions, we'll notice that we digress or derail. And then the capacity in our moment is can we switch the attention from fixating on the story of the derailment and the shame or the guilt or the self-sabotage that comes from that, and have the capacity to redirect into self-love, self-compassion, and when I feel ready, I'm going to pick myself up again and go again. So this is like non-negotiable almost, is to hold such a high caliber of compassion for self.
Okay, interesting. That's where you went with that. Because the first thing you said was like, what was the first phrase you said? Because that was the exact imagery that was coming to me as you were saying it.
I don't know. A tremendous capacity too, or no?
Well,
I don't know what
anyway,
it
it was
was.
because I was laughing because it was something about like unlimited possibility or something
Okay.
like that. And the imagery that I was getting was like someone up in the clouds, like looking to the edge of the horizon and seeing like, wow, this just keeps going. And the feeling was whatever edge you think is possible for you, or like wherever your whatever box you're in, like just know that it just goes infinitely farther. And so like find a vantage point where you can just see really far and then imagine like what's even farther than that.
Very cool. Okay, so then I'm just gonna like. So prior to this interview, Derek asked me in an email if there's any topics that were kind of in the forefront for me that I wanted to bring forward. And what I shared with him was the conversation of the interrupted awe and how we can work with not interrupting the awe. And I just left it at that line. So this is exactly what you just described, is that what I'm noticing is how fixated we are as a society with the doing the work or fixing the thing in the self. And the part that I see that we're missing is, what are we doing it for? What are we doing it for? And we're missing the opportunities when we catch ourselves in a moment of awe of what is possible, exactly what Derek just described, seeing the potential of what your vision is, and then there's this omnipresent energy that's like, dude, like you can't even imagine what's possible. And just like showing that more expansive space to us. And so how this ties into the awe is that what I notice within myself, and what I'm leaning into languaging more, is that I notice that when I find myself in an awe-filled moment, watching a beautiful sunset or snow falling or kids really being resilient on a playground, whatever it is, and I catch myself in the awe, what I was noticing I was doing was the moment that the emotion starts to surge and get to the point where I'm brimming, where I'm going to get emotional, I deflect, I dismiss, I push it down, because I either don't feel worthy to be in the awe, or I feel the situation's inappropriate for me to be in that awe-filled space. And what I'm learning is that because awe is spontaneous, you can never recreate it. I can't come back at a later time and be like, oh, let me go back to that awe-filled moment and just revel in it for a few minutes. So if you miss it, you just miss it. And the part that you're bringing forward here, Derek, is just this capacity to be able to hold whatever it is that's in your heart or in your desire to the highest level of your I am self. And then just know that there's more than that. And you, like, that's the like seeing the signs and the way the dots go. Like, I put a one line in there, and then this is how it's like leaning into the conversation that we're having, right?
It's tremendous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's beyond, right? Okay. Anything else that wants to come through? I love how like the response gave information to both ends of the spectrum. So those that are struggling, here's some points that you can play with. And those of you that are feeling like you want to be stepping into the greatness of life more fully, here's some points that you can play with. I love that it kind of spoke to both there. Okay. Now, from that, is there a different arena that you want to go into?
Just totally unrelated. Well, it's all related, but I want to know about the apparently there's a giant pyramid in Bosnia. And I want to know about that.
Okay, so this might be an example of where my point of reference gets funky, but actually going in blind is probably more fun. So I'm going to keep the records open for the Akasha, and now I'm going to actually open the records for the pyramid in Bosnia. So I'm going to go
Okay.
into a record within the record. Okay, keepers of the Akashic records, please open the records for the pyramid in Bosnia that Derek is referring to, and all names used in this lifetime. It's really big. Create a safe and sacred space for its highest good and healing. The records are now open. The records are now open. The records are now open. Okay, so it's a really strong energy when I'm opening up that record. It goes actually straight out from the heart space. I'm just going to take a moment and just calibrate a little bit more. So I'm just going to go silent. If you have something you want to share while I do that, go for it, Derek.
What I'm seeing actually is a like imagine if there's a pyramid on the top and a pyramid underneath it, that would form an octahedron. So I'm seeing the octahedron and then like a beam coming at the top and the bottom of it, like it's an octahedron suspended on like a string of light kind of. So that's kind of interesting.
Do you know if there's a sacred geometry shape that is like this inside of the body?
The octahedron is a platonic solid, and I believe each chakra sort of can relate to a platonic solid, and so that might be the
So as you're
second
speaking and
chakra.
Okay, so as you're speaking and describing it, I was just getting like a really big surge of like it's in you, it's in you, and I was just feeling that most in the heart. Now sometimes the heart is just like a bit of a hub for helping to activate other chakras, so it might not be directly in the heart, but okay, that's interesting. Keep going if you have more.
That was my first impression.
Okay, and is this known or is this buried? Is this actual or mystical at this
This
point?
is an actual pyramid that archaeologists started to work on, and then certain I don't know, governments like shut them down. And so now it's like something that people know is there, but they can't get access to work on.
I'm going to just speak to like the space around it, not the specifics. So when I'm opening up these records, it's incredibly powerful, and it has like almost like a like if you want to say masculine more energy to it, whereas like the feminine can kind of be like the undercurrent, kind of push. This is more of like a surging kind of in a good way, not like an overbearing masculine, but it's a very strong energy. That's the word that wants to come through. It has an incredibly strong energy. It's very ancient, obviously. But it also connects to other formations somewhere on the planet. So it's not just its own entity, or not entity, like its own vessel. It's also has a communication pattern with other shapes on the planet. So I don't know if that's like connected. Is that connected to like a ley line? No, it's not ley line, but it's and then I'm just getting sort of like just like a pondering that I don't know if this is happening already, but like the sort of wonders of the earth that are kind of inexplainable. I'm also just getting like we need to stop looking at them as all separate and start to see the connections between them, because there is like there's a connection between them. So like whether it's like the Egyptian pyramids or the Stonehenges, those are kind of just the two that I know off the top of my head. They're not all these separate things that that operate independently. There's actually like connection between them.
Okay, since I'm a map person, I'm gonna see if I can get shown connections on the map.
Okay, and then also go constellations if you have like a resource that can also map it through constellations too.
Okay, interesting. Constellation. Okay, so let me show me on a physical map if you can. Are there other things that is connected to it? Yeah, I'm getting so that it's connected. So imagine Bosnia. If anyone knows where Bosnia is,
I'm
I
such
see a.
an idiot with this stuff. Sorry. Keep going.
No worries. So it looks like it's a line sort of bisecting up towards Lake Baikal. Sort of imagine like Russia, Siberia, and then down through Saharan Africa and sort of down that way towards potentially the southern Atlantic. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I wonder if there's any other thing. Does it go through Turkey? It might connect with the Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's showing me a line across the map. Okay, and then constellations, like star systems. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, like how, like there's what I'm getting is like there's lines that go from their placement on Earth to where from that placement on Earth it connects to in a constellation. And then you might also be able to, like, if someone knows their constellations really well, to be able to map the connection between, this gets intricate, but like the thing that you're talking about on Earth, how it connects on Earth, and then it also has a line of energy that goes up to the constellations, and then think of it like a map in the sky that that creates of connecting lines, and then they could, there's a potential that they almost mirror each other.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I know, right, the Egyptian pyramids are aligned to Orion. This one seems to be aligned with Cassiopeia. Do you get the same?
Okay. So yeah, I can ask that directly. Is the Bosnia pyramid connected to Cassiopeia? Yeah, I get like a heat, like a flush, but that's not my, is that a yes? Okay, I'm gonna say it's a yes, but it's not my normal way of receiving a yes. That's why I'm hesitating. So it just
Okay.
feels different to me.
Maybe there's like multiple.
Oh yeah, could there be more? No, it is specific. Yeah, it's a specific. I'm getting that it's one.
One.
Yeah.
Can you ask and we can just see if we can corroborate?
Yeah. So is it okay? So is the constellation that the Bosnia's pyramids connected to, is it one constellation? Yes. Is it two? Oh, yes. Okay. Is it more than five? Is it more than five? No. Okay. Is it four? So three. Okay, so I'm getting two strong, and then there's kind of like a brand, like a subtle line to a third, but it's not going to be as direct as the other two. And then say the constellation again that you're.
Cassiopeia.
And is it connected to Cassiopeia? Yes, there's like a very. It's interesting. So when I described the pyramid, it was masculine, but the connection to this is very gentle. It's very feminine, almost like a caress. So it could almost be the balancing energy to the physical structure that's on Earth. Like it could be like it balances out by being connected to that. And then, do you know another constellation around that we want to check in on?
Let me see what's coming up for me is Cygnus.
Sickness. Yeah, and that's actually more is it in the front or is it Cygnus? Okay, the connections. Okay, so they're like beside each other. Like the there's not a dominating constellation. The
Interesting.
line from the earth up to the like it if you want to think of it like energy, like it draws from them equally. One's not dominant over the other.
And I don't know, we'll have to look this up. I don't know if they're in proximity to each other in the night sky or if they're just like far apart, from our perspective.
Oh, those constellations?
Yeah.
Oh,
No idea.
so you want to know like if you can see them from Earth?
Oh, no, I was just curious if they're like two star systems that are close together or.
Oh, I gotcha. Are the two star systems? So when it goes like kind of, it's irrelevant is what it is. So when it kind of goes like blank for me, that just means like it's irrelevant, and I
Yeah,
don't
I got it.
that.
That was more for like my personal curiosity. Yeah, it feels irrelevant as well. But what I think might be irrelevant is like, what is the purpose of the connection with these star systems?
Part of it's to do with where the technology comes from for what is whatever the structure is on Earth. Part of the technology comes from these constellations and it's tied to it. Yeah, it's tied to it. So it's, I don't know if it's like, is it like an energy hub or?
Like an observation point.
Yeah, I was going to say like a telephone line. Like it's almost like a way to stay in communication with. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's neat. Like I don't usually get stretched in this way, so it's really just like pushing me in a way that I work with that I don't normally work with the record. So it's neat to be a part of it. Does that feel complete for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have maybe one more
Arena?
arena to take this.
Okay, let me just close the Bosnia one. Keepers of the records, just close the records for the pyramid and Bosnia. Records are closed, records are closed, records are closed. Okay. Just brighten up a little bit more the Akasha, please. Rock and roll.
Okay, so inspiration from the movie The Matrix, downloading skills. Can we go into the Akashic Records? Or maybe I should say, how can we go into the Akashic Records and get a skill to use in this lifetime?
Do you mean like a superpower skill or like any skill?
Any skill, like piano playing or superpower,
Oh,
just
okay.
like get the frequency and get it to the point where it manifests into us just being able to do that thing.
Okay. Okay, keepers of the records. So, how do we activate, download? How do we work with any skill set from the Akasha? How can we? Okay, so it wants to kind of list in bullet points. So I'm just going to do it in that way. So obviously suspend the disbelief that it's not possible. That's the biggest part. But then, you have to, so just how we at the beginning kind of were asked to put ourselves inside of the Akasha and not observe it from the outside. The key component is to actually be inside of the frequency of it, not just trying to study it from the outside, right? So if you want to, learn about dogs, open up the cage, get inside, play with the dogs, don't just stand on the outside and just watch how they behave with each other. So it's that component. So you can play with, and I know not everyone like works with the Akashic records, but like what a genius way to do it. You just open up the records of piano playing, and then you sit and bask in the frequency of playing piano. And that's how you start to attune to it. Now, keepers of the records, if someone doesn't work with the records, what's another way they can do it? Okay, so if you're around the skill set, so I'll just stick with piano playing. If you're listening to a piano player or you're listening to piano music, you're to the best of your ability, like placing yourself inside of the player of the piano, not just the notes that are being played. If you're watching someone welding, and you want to learn how to weld, you're taking yourself in the experience of what it would be on the inside with the shield in front of you, holding the tool, being in the gear. Like you want to place yourself in the experience of whatever skill set it is that you want to be learning, and you can't be on the outside watching it. If someone's working with more what I would call mystical skill sets, this is just like my personal opinion. If you want to play with like a little bit of like the powers that be, I find it interesting how glorified our movies will make these so that it feels too far-reaching for us to even consider the possibility of playing with it. And so if that's the position that you're sitting in, just bring it down a few notches. The same way that someone wants to know God, they got to stop putting it on a pedestal and thinking that it's something outside of them that they can't reach, and just knock it off the pedestal a bit and bring it closer to home. Same thing. Okay, other bullet points. Let yourself be messy. And like there's sort of this expectation that if we've downloaded the skill set, we're coming out a master of it. So give yourself permission to be messy in the process of not aligning, but like of discovering how the skill set wants to work through you. So if you are putting yourself in the position of Beethoven, as he's composing music, when the music moves through you, it's not, you're not Beethoven, so it's going to have a different temperament to it. So you have to let yourself be messy for a bit while your frequency calibrates with the frequency of the skill set. And so a lot of times people will assume that they're not getting it, not doing it right, because it's not the instant manifestation. So give yourself permission to be a little bit messy with it in the process. And then you just really have to pay attention to how much real estate and time you're playing with the calibration of it. So if it's like a minute a day versus an hour a day, you just there's something to be said. And not just like the It also has to be potent time, not just like, oh, I've done an hour and I'm good. It has to really be focused, concentrated, embodied time in that experience. And then co-collaborate with the field itself. So you're really petitioning to the field. What is it that I need to do? What do I need to shift? How do I need to change? How can you help me? What frequencies do I need to pull in to help this frequency to support me? So you want to be dancing with the whole field that supports the skill set that you're wanting to bring in.
This is gold. This is great stuff. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And then that's quiet. So then it goes to you. Anything to add that isn't there already, or anything to stretch that's already been said?
Well, it's interesting because when I after our session last week, I played around going into the records myself, and one of the things that I got was this imagery of like chewing through a marshmallow, but that was like to have an experience rather than observe it from the outside. So the very first thing you said was like you can't just like taste a marshmallow or experience eating something. You actually have to like get in there and like chew through the meal, chew through the whatever it is. So it's really a if it's a skill on earth, like you have to let your body like participate in it. So it's just another way of saying what you were saying. Let me see if there's anything new, because I was paying attention to what you were saying. What I'm getting is almost like an electrification process, like allow the jolt of inspiration to like come in and shock you in a sense. Like let the electricity of the thing you're supposed to like let it actually affect you. So I guess there's an open like you have to open up to be zapped by the new thing.
Love it.
Yeah, that's all I have for now.
That's quite a bullet point list that people can start to play with. I also love just the it's just the Heather and me coming in a little bit here, but just allow giving yourself permission to get out of your own way. Like so even though you might have this desire to learn the piano, don't be surprised if it's the trumpet that comes through. So give yourself permission to just let the field work on you as much as you're trying to work the field. And I mean, this is kind of the place that I'm playing with like law of attraction and whatnot is the field that we're talking about is a non-egotistical field. And so if we're only manifesting from an ego-based need, this might be why we have a hard time bringing things into fruition, because the ego and the non-ego space, they're misaligned. So when you're desiring the skill set, take the time to go underneath and discover the why of it. So for example, if I want to learn the skill set of dropping 20K into my bank account every month, if it's only based from the ego alone, it's pretty hard to make that happen. But if I have a bigger picture of what I want to use that 20K for, then the co-participation becomes more natural and more easeful. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like letting Yeah, I think a lot of times the motivation, like we, I think people tap into, there's an excitement around wanting to learn the piano or wanting to get 20K, and there's like something they know that's there for them, but then we put these like egoic, here's what I know is possible from looking around and like how other people do this. And so then all of a sudden it gets these like layers on it right away. Here's how I should approach this.
Totally.
Yeah.
And possibly, like, learning the piano is going to simply introduce you to your tribe, the people that you're meant to be resonating with. And the modality is the piano. But you want to play the piano, I don't know, whatever, to show off at Christmas dinner with your family. I have no idea. But, right? So, like, just trusting, like, that even if you're desiring it from ego, just have the courage to explore the layers beneath that. Because I even don't fully believe like any desire comes from a purely egoic space. There's an undercurrent beneath that, but it's just whether or not we're willing to tap into it to discover the why. Right? Yeah. Does that feel complete, that part?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to close the whole gamut, or do you want to keep going?
No, that's good. About all I can handle.
I hear you. Okay. Those are some big pockets we went into too. Okay, so we give thanks and gratitude to the keepers of the Akashic Records for the guidance, the healing, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the information that we've received today. All records are now closed. All records are closed. All records are closed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a fun experience. No one's ever asked to do that before. That was really a fun ride for me. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, thank you for going there. And thanks to the listener if anyone has because that was like pretty meaty, it seems. So I almost don't expect people to do it all in one take.
Yeah, totally. It also gives the experience of, I'm just gonna say this one last thing, like what happens when more than one person goes into the same record together in a collaborative way, like either partner or group setting. You just get this really, I'll use the word collaborative again, like amount of information that comes in. I've done this with people, who want to open up a yoga studio in town. We've just all come together and opened up the records to see all the little, as how many parts can we discover together to help make this as smooth as possible for the individual. So it's a neat way to hang out together with others.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. And again, useful for entrepreneurs. I'm always thinking about like, how can we use this? Yeah. Excellent.
And you can see how it gives a very complementary but different perspective when you're doing it in that way. And so I hope that just kind of that exercise gives a tangible example of the conversation we had at the beginning of the point of reference from the field of the Akasha. Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you want to mention, bring up that I haven't already asked you?
If you don't mind me asking, I'm curious where I just want to ping a question back at you because you've been asking me the whole time. What are you discovering? What's your next becoming that you're leaning into? If you want to share.
Well, I pull an animal card every year for my theme for the year. And I pulled turkey this year. And I don't have any particular fondness for turkey, but one of the big themes of turkey is this like bottomless generosity. They're they like give of themselves right for our Thanksgiving meals and in the States, but just like looking for examples of people being sort of just fully generous and free and giving and calibrating to those examples in my life. In different ways of generosity. Like I have my patterns of ways that I'm generous, and I have my patterns of ways that I'm not. So that's an area of exploring for me right
Love
now.
it. It's great. And now I appreciate the turkey even more. I never really, same as you, could take or leave it, but that's a really cool way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more things to come up for that. Last
Yeah.
year, my theme or my animal was the Black Panther, which is like stepping into the mystery, big magic, like stepping into the unknown, that kind of thing. It was pretty intimidating. Like every time you do that, it's intimidating. That helped me facilitate a lot of big steps for sure last year.
Yeah.
And this year, it's kind of like I'll be experiencing the fruits of those, and so I'll have all this abundance. It's time to learn to like distribute the abundance.
Very cool. Very cool. What a cyclical, beautiful way of experiencing life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Honored to be in your company, Derek. It's very much a treat to just be able to roam where we wanted to roam today.
Yeah, thank you. It's my show, so I can do what I want.
Yeah, for sure. But
Yeah.
I love that you gave me the heads up of, can we go for the full 2 hours? Because I was like, oh, nice. Then that gives the opportunity to just take the pace we want to take to get to the layers we want to get to and see what wants to be shared. Yeah.
Wonderful. Where can besides people finding you in the records, where should they look to learn more about you, or where would you like to point people?
Yeah, back to reality. Let's just bring us back into reality before we close out. Totally. Yeah, just my website's the easiest way. So it's my name, Heather Ivany, Ivany is the last name, .com. I have everything from free to not free on there. You can join a 7-day free program. You can have an Akashic session. I have retreats and mentorship portals, and Akashic trainings are all listed in there. So, and if there's something you want to see that I'm not offering, let me know, because I love always exploring what the new could be. So that's the easiest way to find me. I do a little bit on Instagram, but it's not totally my jam. So yeah, and you can book a free call with me if you just want to discuss next steps, and you can also book a session with me if that's calling you.
Super.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. It's great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I look forward to listening to this in chunks when it comes out.
It's always fun. Like, wow, what even happened? I don't
Yeah,
know.
totally. Yeah. No, it's neat. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Heather.
Take care. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.